Kentucky.com today.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to America Tonight. Kate Delaney, as usual, the skipper of this ship on some pretty choppy waters. An interesting way to start the week. A lot of it focusing out of D.C. on health care. As you know, each and every show, we start off inside the Beltway with Talk Radio News. Always a pleasure to chat with Victoria Jones. Victoria, really, there was a lot of information kind of flying out of D.C. on the health mandate. And I think one of the biggest things is, and we're going to talk about the judge and the ruling that's expected to come down, Judge Vinson out of Florida. But before we do that, how about the president kind of backtracking on the health mandate and talking about the individual thorny thing that was so sticky with so many people who felt that it was unconstitutional for the government to tell us that we had to have health care. So what happened there? What happened with the president?
Well, he spoke to the National Governors Association today, and was he trying to appease some disgruntled governors? Not sure, but what he basically said was that he was backing legislation that this was really proposed by Senators Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, and Scott Brown, Republican of Massachusetts, that would enable states to request federal permission to withdraw from the law's mandate in 2014 rather than 2017 if they can prove they can find other ways to cover as many people as the original law would and at the same cost. So, and this earlier date is when a lot of the central provisions take effect, like the individual mandate, and that employers of a certain size offer coverage to workers or pay a penalty. So there's things like they can experiment with ways to entice people to obtain insurance other than requiring them to buy policies. It also allows some states to establish a single-payer system if they'd like to. So it allows states to play around, try different things, more conservative plans, more liberal plans, what they want, but they have to fulfill the certain mandates.
Boy, that'll be interesting to watch as so many governors, so many really state attorney generals filing, saying that, you know, they wanted in on that Florida lawsuit. Now the ball's in their court. So this is an interesting transition, and I'm sure we're going to be following that story. Speaking of that, the unconstitutionality of the individual health mandate. I mentioned that at the top right before we went to you. Judge Vinson is supposed to rule on this. As you know, many states have thrown in on this lawsuit challenging, again, that constitutionality. What's the buzz about the ruling?
Well, the Justice Department has done a very risky move. They've asked Judge Vinson to clarify his ruling that struck down the law as unconstitutional. They want to know what Vinson meant, whether he, well, basically, did he want to stop reform implementation in the 26 states that brought the suit? And really, he went just shy of saying that. So the smart money is saying, yeah, that's exactly what he meant to say. And the smart money is saying, yes, he is going to rule tomorrow to halt implementation. And a lot of people are saying, why on earth would justice take that risk? They had to know he was going to do that. And that's probably what he's going to do. So what happens? It'll go to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals to ask for a stay.
Yeah, absolutely. And we sort of knew that. If I were handicapping this, if I were a wise guy, I would have taken the bets on that, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, 100% I would have done that. How about Gaddafi? Finally, last week when you and I were talking, the White House was tiptoeing around thoughts on Gaddafi leaving Libya. Now they come out swinging after the UN Security Council says, forget about it, sanctions are unanimous over the weekend. So Saturday, the president says, you know, he has to go, and they're keeping that pressure up, I guess. What's the latest that they're doing to Gaddafi to try to force his hand?
Yeah, they've really been keeping the pressure up. The president continuing to say go. He hasn't said it on camera, so the press secretary came in for a bit of flack about that. But Secretary Clinton saying it on camera, UN Ambassador Susan Rice saying it on camera today. Well, the latest is President Obama has directed the U.S. Treasury to block $30 billion, that's B, in assets held by Muammar Gaddafi and his officials. And this is actually huge. I mean, it is the largest amount of money that the U.S. has ever blocked.
Wow, how about that? The largest ever? All the criminals, wow, $30 billion, like you said, with the V. He's going to have to borrow some money if he's going to get a plane ticket out of Libya.
Yeah, because the EU, the UK, and the United Nations have already frozen the assets of Gaddafi and his entourage.
Yeah. All right, so I think this comes to a head here. Maybe this week, we'll see. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
A big day for Victoria. She even got a question in at the White House briefing on Iran. Take a listen.
I don't mind if the government shuts down because we need to really do it in a more streamlined fashion. And if people can spend their time just holding it up, then let it shut down. It's fine.
I mean, I heard this morning that they are possibly going to have another extension. And, I mean, you can't extend forever, but maybe they need another extension. I don't think it's particularly wise to save even more than Obama has said he would. But I do think they need another extension. We wouldn't want to have a situation that they're even more conflictual than they are now. So if that's what they need, fine, but they can't do it forever. And it's not just Republican or Democrats who they were voted. I mean, collectively, they were voted in to run this country for all of us. And them being shut down and not being able to come to an agreement is not doing their job.
I don't think it's going to shut down. And I don't know why they're messing around with this anyway, because they could forget about the debt limit and just say, well, the sky's the limit. But, you know, that's probably the smart thing to do, because every year they go through the same thing.
There's too much of that going on right now, all this one party against the other party. They need to start working and doing for whatever's best for this country, not what they think is best for their party.
I think that if it does shut down, it will be temporary, and that it will create a crisis that may spur some action, so that hands will finally reach across the aisle. Because the government does serve the people.
Mia would be symbolically dangerous to have the government shut down. People would say, oh, look, everything works with the government shut down. But it's, yeah, to me, it's a gimmick to shut it down.
Victoria said at the White House briefing, but it's interesting what you just heard there. We would let you hear anyway. It's the reaction on the street to the possibility of a shutdown of the federal government. We've been talking about this now for weeks, including with Victoria. She was handicapping it for us and saying probably chances are we're not going to see a shutdown. Originally, it looked as though there would be a complete ice over of the federal government. Now it's looking like it's headed in a different direction. In fact, maybe part of the reason is because recent polls say that if Washington were to just completely call it quits for a day, 2 days, 6 days, like they did back in 95 over the budget, it would look bad on the Democrats, that they would be the ones perceived to be the bad guys. And you just heard kind of a plethora of opinions there, and I know all of you have similar opinions. Some of you saying, well, who cares if they want to do that? It's not going to affect me. Others scared to death that they're going to lose money in the end. Coming up on the flip side, speaking of losing money, no deep water drilling when it comes to oil. That has been very costly. Find out why around the bend.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula. and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
The collapse of the dollar is imminent. You can protect your wealth by buying gold, silver, and strong foreign currencies, but what if the government confiscates your precious metals, implements exchange controls, or nationalizes your retirement? You need a backup plan. That's why you must move your wealth into an offshore asset protection structure. Go to CollapseProof.com to get your free special report and discover how to store your gold and silver in the world's safest vaults, or how to hold foreign currencies in a way that's safe from bank failures, bank runs, or exchange controls. Learn how the U.S. government failed to collect a $36 million claim because the defendant legally used an offshore asset protection program. This is what you need to keep your wealth safe when the dollar collapses, and CollapseProof.com can help. Our programs are 100% compliant with U.S. law, but you must act now before it's too late. Call 800-798-2008. That's 800-798-2008. CollapseProof.com. Asset protection in financially unsafe times.
America Tonight. You know, we've been talking about the deep water drilling, the lack of deep water drilling in the Gulf, and how ridiculous it's been. We even did a trip down to Mississippi. And when you see that the price of the pumps goes up, and in Chicago they're paying $4, in the West Coast, in Los Angeles, they're paying top dollar. I mean, all over the country, everybody's feeling the pain at the pump. We know a lot of this is because of the bad news in the Middle East, the chaos and whatnot. Even though I've said many times, when you look at Libya, most of what happens with Libya, since it's 17th on OPEC's list, most of their oil is actually going to Asia and Europe. But what happens there definitely affects us in the United States. Go back to the 70s. When have we open another refinery? This is part of the problem. So it's a pleasure to be joined by John Mavritich here on America Tonight. He is the director of communications for the Institute for Energy Research. And John, first off, after I said all that stuff, and I think this is just a mere drop in the bucket, how about the Interior Department? I think because of political pressure, finally buckling and approving the first Gulf of Mexico, a deep water drilling permit. What's your reaction to that?
Right. Well, thanks, Kate, for having me. It seems sort of coincidental that he issued that permit the same week that he'll be have to sit in front of Republican lawmakers on Wednesday and Thursday of this week to defend the economic consequences that that he's imposed on the Gulf of Mexico. There's Americans that have lost their jobs. Payroll that has been lost and government royalties that have been lost. And so he's looking to let out a little bit of that political steam by saying, hey, look, I did issue a permit. So, you know, can't give me too much heat. But really what we see is 10 months lacking in that permitting process.
Yeah, and what has that 10 months done to the people who make a living in the oil industry? I mean, we see Louisiana got swacked with this. That's why Bobby Jindal was out of his mind, the governor of Louisiana, trying to say, listen, we're doing everything we can, and we have all these systems in place. Give me a break here. So it's really been pretty crippling.
Right, absolutely, and rightfully so. He was going out of his mind. I mean, we had a study coming out of Louisiana State University that showed that just in the first 6 months alone, there were going to be 12,000 jobs lost, $2.1 billion in wages in the Gulf region alone, and that's just in the first 6 months. Remember, that was from just the explicit moratorium when Secretary Salazar backpedaled and said, well, it's not an explicit moratorium, but I'm still not going to issue permits. There still was no drilling going on. So there's even more economic consequences coming from those the next 4 months that lead us today where we're at, where we just have an industry in the Gulf that could be producing billions of dollars in profits, but instead is sitting idle.
Yeah, and killing so many people and killing so many livelihoods along the Gulf Coast, too, that are related to the oil industry, not just the people specifically on the rigs that are right there in the middle of it, but people in the hotel business, people in restaurants, is certainly, you know. Last week, they do have a big announcement about the well containment system. It's state of the art. I heard it's just incredible. And that the containment system pretty much is what's being dubbed as the new gold standard. I talked to someone earlier today about this, and they were working with Exxon, and they said, boy, you got to see this thing. This is incredible, because we're talking about a containment cap even that's very capable of operating in some incredibly deep, deep, deep water. What have you heard about the new system?
Right. Well, we know that the cap is a product of four of the majors coming together, Exxon, Chevron, Shell, and ConocoPhillips, to bring pretty much state-of-the-art equipment down to up to 8,000 feet depth. Remember, the Deepwater Horizon blowout was at around 5,000 feet, I believe it was. And it spilled 40,000 barrels of oil. This new cap is able to collect up to 60,000 barrels of oil. So the industry has shown that it can handle worst-case scenarios. Whether that's enough to convince Secretary Salazar to increase the amount of permits remains to be seen.
Right, because it is just one permit, and as you mentioned, it's been 10 months with this moratorium on the deep water drilling. So with all the people that have been affected and all the money that's been lost, and I wonder why we're seeing the price at the pump go up. You know a little bit about this, too. I said it, that Libya doesn't directly supply the United States, but certainly we get a chunk of our oil from the Middle East. We know the Saudis have the most of the oil to give, and the problem is also, right, John, the refinery capacity, because we haven't built any refineries.
Well, yeah, I mean, remember, the problem is not resource deficiency in our country. We have billions of barrels of oil recoverable starting tomorrow. The reason that we're so dependent on countries that are in the Middle East or other hostile nations is because of American energy policy. And this hasn't just started with President Obama, but of course it's been accelerated by President Obama. He's got Secretary Salazar in there. He's probably the most anti-energy person in that post in recent decades. They see growth in the energy industry as a problem, not a solution. So we have to look at home, unfortunately, the people in Washington, D.C., that are literally crippling the industry that could be flourishing at home.
Yeah, no kidding. And you mentioned the big four, ExxonMobil, of course, Chevron, Royal Dutch Shell, ConocoPhillips, and that's four of them that we're talking about. They helped develop what we were just talking about, the oil well containment cap. But how many of the guys that are pros that would work in this deep water drilling industry have gone to other places? Have we lost?
Well, you know, I'm not exactly sure of the exact number, Kate, but we can be sure that especially the deep water rigs have gone elsewhere because they haven't been able to drill. And this actually goes back to another point you were making, in that the small guys, the restaurants, the hotels, the people that are on land, they don't have the capital to go elsewhere, to go to Africa or South America, where countries are welcoming those rigs as, you know, a vessel of economic opportunity and jobs and government revenue. They're stuck here, where energy policy is continuing to stifle the industry. And so it's actually the small businesses, the mom and pops, that are really getting hurt by these policies.
Boy, yeah, no kidding. Absolutely. Tell us, well, while we have you here, John, tell us more about the Institute for Energy Research. Obviously, you guys are keeping tabs on, for example, what's happening with deep water drilling for oil in the Gulf and whatnot, and the need to get back to that. But what are some of the other things that you watchdog, if you will?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, of course, we're looking at federal policy. We also look at state policies that try to stifle the energy industry in states by placing caps on the amount of affordable energy that you can use, or mandating that you use a certain amount of energy coming from politically connected sources. Basically, our mantra is that the free market, consumers making choices on their own, is the best way to bring about economic growth. And as history shows, economic growth, it's not a zero-sum game. Everyone wins. And so these are the type of policies that we need to be implementing in Washington, not this type of top-down command and control system whereby the federal government is looking to control the energy industry. Instead, let consumers choose what's best for their lifestyle, what's most affordable, what's most reliable, and that's how you're going to bring about economic growth and avoid the type of recessions that we're in right now.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. We should tell everybody, too, the permit, by the way, is for a project that's about, I think, 70-some miles southeast of a place called Venice, Louisiana. And
right.
This is just one. Again, this is just one permit. And we talked about
it's
the
also not new.
Yes, it's not for new.
For an existing project that was going on before the Deepwater Horizon. So there's still no new exploratory drilling going on.
Yeah, no kidding. So you mentioned this, too. It's the timing is interesting, the fact that you've got the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee that they're going to have some testimony, obviously, on the Hill before the lawmakers. So when you see, like, Senator Lisa Murkowski from Alaska saying, hey, you know, maybe they can issue some more permits, so this is one,
right.
But how about the rest of them? Because it would be easy to throw this up, you know, not to be overly cynical, but it's easy to throw this out as bait, and then guess what? Everybody slurks back and says, oh, well, maybe they're opening this up. But how long does that permit process take? It takes a while anyway to get all your ducks in a row and then get shot down and then have to come back again, right?
Right, right. Well, we actually saw up in Lisa Murkowski's area in Alaska, Shell was looking to do some exploratory drilling up there. And after receiving, I believe it was 35 permits, they had the final one, the 35th, yanked from underneath them. And so it killed all their plans for the year. They have no plans to go back this year, because the permit was yanked from them. So it's not just a matter of getting one permit. And unfortunately, with the increasingly complex regulatory structure that companies are having to go through, the number of permits is increasing. The number of agencies that they have to deal with is increasing. Meanwhile, the amount of time they spend producing the energy is decreasing.
Yeah, what a way to end this. We'll be keeping our eyes on, obviously, what's happening here. We talk about it a lot on America Tonight. John, thanks so much for shedding some light. We appreciate your time on ATN.
Thank you for having me.
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects, is safe for all ages and skin types, and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled Dermatol.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free?
It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hi, I'm Don Wiskin, and have you ever wondered what the garlic cayenne drops could do for you? February is Heart Month, and we want you to find out just what can happen when you take the right combination of herbs designed to maintain our cardiovascular health. Purchase a 4-month supply of ExtendoVite drops or capsules, plus get a bonus month supply of capsules for only $125 plus shipping. That's 5 months worth of ExtendoVite for $25 per month. This is a Heart Month special to help get you started on your path to better health, and ends February 28th. So don't be left out. Find out what ExtendoVite can do for you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Show, the 6.0 magnitude quake that shook a part of Chile to the day a year after that horrible quake in Concepcion that took so many lives, almost 600 people. And we see, and we've been talking to people in New Zealand about Christchurch and what happened there, how horrific that's been, still in that mode of recovering the bodies and then rebuilding after 5 months ago going through the same thing, going through an earthquake. What about forecasting these suckers? What about a warning, some kind of warning to let people know? I don't care. You know, imagine if you had any kind of a head start, you could get away from some of these tall buildings. And when you say this to people, they laugh. Like, what, are you kidding me? You think that it's possible to predict earthquakes? David Nobhan, our next guest, joined us like 3.5 months ago, and we were talking about forecasting the catastrophe, the big one on the West Coast. When you live in California, you live with the fear that there is going to be the big one. But what if there were a way to have a little bit of time to get away from these suckers, to get to a safer spot? David's written a book called Predicting the Next Great quake. David, always nice to have you on the show. How are you?
Thank you for having me on again, Kate. I appreciate it very much.
In California, like I said, you live with that. I think I told the story. I might not have said when you were on the last time, but I lived in California in the Central Coast, and there was a quake that hit Los Angeles, and so it was further away, but we still had the aftershocks, and you could feel it. It was like a rolling feeling, and all the people I worked with were Californians, so they immediately ducked, and someone said, oh, earthquake, and then went back to work afterwards because it wasn't such a big shock to them, and it didn't do any damage, but it was just an aftershock that we felt. There was much more damage in further south in Southern California. So certainly you know about these earthquakes and what happens and the conversation. Do you feel like people still are really in the back of their head thinking about that in San Francisco and in the north and in the south when it comes to the possibilities?
Well, you bring up a good point. You mentioned Christchurch and the disaster that happened there and the fact that it was only a 6.3, not really a big one. We have our own Christchurch brewing, I think, in the Pacific Northwest. When you think of earthquake, you obviously, you know, Southern California and San Francisco come to mind, but probably Seattle is one of the cities facing the greatest seismic dangers on Earth, which is not on the radar screen of the American public at all. It's a strange anomaly. And, you know, the Seattle fault runs directly beneath Seattle, like Christchurch. A 6.7 or a 6.5 quake in Seattle would probably do more damage than anything ever seen in Southern California. So, you know, the agenda of earthquakes is very much to be seen in San Francisco, Southern California, that sort of thing. But the Pacific Northwest, it's so strange that with the Cascadia Fault Zone and the quake system up there, the fault system up there, that you very rarely hear anything. The agenda isn't there. It's almost like the scene before Katrina when due diligence wasn't done on the levees.
Yeah, do you think that that's the politics of the earthquake business, of seismologists, of the, or just the organization itself when we think about it?
Well, you mentioned, you know, the absurdity of earthquake prediction. It's amazing. We can transplant hearts. We can catalog entire genomes. We can send spacecraft beyond into interstellar space, even measure the background radiation of the Big Bang itself. Yet somehow the only element in science which is, you know, we're prevented from even broaching is earthquake prediction. I don't know what brainiac in history chiseled in stone the fact that earthquake prediction is impossible. I can't find it. Isaac Newton never said it. Albert Einstein never said it. But yeah, and I don't want to point too many, you know, I don't want to point fingers at USGS because truly, you know, they're one of the superlative scientific bodies on planet Earth. Let's keep that in mind. But they've really painted themselves into a corner on this one because if you look back 15 years ago, you know, they've been saying impossible, impossible, balderdash for a whole century. But from the first book, Predicting the Next Great Quake, to the second book, Forecasting the Catastrophe, they're not saying that now. They're quiet as mice about these gravitational tides. And I was thinking about Christchurch and Seattle because I'm going on Seattle Talk Radio on the 19th of March because that's the next date in the earthquake almanac. And if your listeners have any interest in seeing if there's any water that this theory holds, they might, in the back of their mind, keep that date in mind.
19th of March. So let's give everyone a little bit of background.
April 18th, March 19th and or April 18th, the next two dates coming up. There's 181 dates. I don't mean to interrupt, but there's 181 dates. These two next dates are a little bit more probable than the others in the book.
Yeah, and you talk about this. You use a pattern to formulate those 181 specific times and dates of what you're calling higher probability for seismic activity on the West Coast through to the year 2020. Give a little background for the people who might not have caught you the first time around. How did you piece this all together?
Well, I was thrown on my bed three times at dawn. I moved to Southern California back and forth from Texas, and when I got there in the late 80s, within a matter of 4 years, I was thrown out of my bed three times on three different occasions. At almost, you mentioned the periodicity of these quakes keep appearing, the Chilean quakes. In Southern California, there are a couple of quakes that have struck on the exact same day, separated by years. There, Northridge and Gorman and a couple of others are separated by seconds. 4:44 in the morning, 4:43 in the morning. They always happen at dawn and at dusk. And then the third time I got thrown out of my bed at Northridge at 4:30 in the morning, it became as, I can't believe that there aren't 10 million people screaming solar tides in Southern California. That did it for me. And I went back and looked at the statistics. I looked at the data, and lo and behold, not only did these 27 quakes that it took place, the big quakes in Southern California over the last 60 years, take place with this certain periodicity, but they also took place during new and full moons, dawn and dusk, during near syzygy events when the Earth, Sun, and Moon were aligned in such a fashion as to put the most gravitational tidal stress on the fault line, giving it reason to part, you know, giving it further impetus for a seismic event. So this isn't voodoo science. It's as old as, I mentioned Newton, you know, he's the guy who discovered gravitational tides. It simply goes back, I simply went back into history and I looked at all the great quakes that struck Southern California, and lo and behold, out of the 23 great quakes that struck in Southern California over those 60 years, seven of them, one-third of them, took place during these unbelievably thin time windows of dawn and dusk during new and full moon at syzygy, where it's almost like an eclipse. And I did the math on that, by the way. You can imagine it's astronomical. One out of 50 billion that such a thing could happen randomly. So I'm not ready to buy those kind of that's winning the California lottery a couple of times in the same week. It seems to me the opposite is true. It's a periodicity. It's the signal of some sort of a system in play here.
Yeah, I agree with you. And can you imagine an early warning system, what that would do for the people, like you say, Seattle, where they did have an earthquake? What was it, in the 90s there was an earthquake that was pretty decent size, and it's lucky that wasn't worse.
The one that I wrote in predicting the next great quake, you're talking about the 1996 quake, the largest, second largest quake in Seattle's history in 50 years, which I missed by 69 minutes. And again, you can't pull that kind of stuff out of a hat without, without it either being completely a hoodwinking business or the obvious sign of some sort of a periodicity. I mean, the odds of that happening, I wouldn't bother to figure, but the quake you mentioned was a pretty good size one, 5.4. It shook the kingdom and stopped that nationally televised game. And again, it was the fifth entry, I believe, in the first book I wrote. It took place at dusk during a near syzygy event. And, I started talking about Seattle, these near syzygy events go all the way up to Alaska, the largest earthquake ever to take place in North America's history, the 64 quake that destroyed Anchorage. Again, same deal, took place 36 minutes outside of the range where there would be the maximum amount of gravitational stress put on the fault lines via the tides. The last big one in on the San Andreas, the Fort Tejon quake, 1857. Mm. Again, same sort of phenomenon. So I don't know how much piling
more
on
evidence.
All this evidence is silly. That's why I'm taking this public, and I every chance I get, I to put the next dates out there. I do so that. Unfortunately, I think what's going to have to happen is someone's going to have to listen to one of these interviews in the past and juxtapose it with something that's on the front page of the newspaper to actually get something done.
Yeah, no kidding. So remember those dates, March 19th, April 18th. David, always a pleasure to have you on. We certainly support you in your quest. I hope more people start to listen to what you're saying. The evidence is pretty clear. So close the time, especially what you predicted when we were talking about Seattle. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Kate, very much.
Remember, you can pick up his books, too, by the way. Fascinating read. Amazon.com or, of course, Barnes & Noble.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's UTOPIA Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeSig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeSig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeSig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeSig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeSig.com. That's LeSig.com. LeSig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeSig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LeSig.com. LeSig, for today's modern smoker. Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams, been haunted by a million screams. I can hear the marching feet, they're moving into the street. Now, did you read the news today?
All right, we're headed to the finish line here in this hour of America Tonight. So we want to go through some of the headers for you in case you missed what the water cooler buzz was on the day and then moving forward. But before we do that, we were talking about Victoria Jones, who joins us often from talk radio news in D.C., giving us a scoop on Inside the Beltway. And Jay Carney is the new White House spokesperson. It's just really been 3 weeks that he's been in that job where he replaced Gibby. And there are all kinds of speculation as to what the guy would be like. And he seems very tight, kind of along the same lines as Robert Gibbs. But he hasn't been in the job very long, to be fair. And he's a former journalist. So you got to give him a little bit of time and see what happens. So Victoria actually got a question in about Iran. Here's how that went down.
Did, in the Rice Ban Ki Moon meeting, did the situation in Iran come up, and including the recent actions against human rights activists, journalists, and bloggers, but also the protests and the government statements?
In the meeting with the UN Secretary General, I don't have a readout that reflects that they discussed Iran. They might have, but I can say that we obviously find the detention of opposition leaders to be unacceptable, and we call on them to be treated well and released.
And is there a concern that the turmoil in the Middle East may be empowering Iran? There is some talk that that it may be doing that. What is the White House view of this?
Our view is that peaceful protests by populations in different countries that are representative of broad interests and broad segments of society in a demand for peaceful democratic change are inherently good things, that the governments there need to respond peacefully to them, to listen to the aspirations of their people, to engage their people in the political process, and that when real democracy is strengthened, when real democracy takes root, I think that's good for the people of the region, it's good for the rest of the world, and it's good for the United States.
That's my question.
Thank you very much.
All right, you gotta love Victoria. She said at the end, "You didn't answer my question though, because she was giving it her best try." And then he walked out, and that was the White House spokesperson, as I mentioned, Jay Carney, going back and forth with Victoria Jones, who you hear often on America Tonight. Al's listening to us in Canada. Hey, Al.
Hi, Kate. I caught the last 45 seconds of your talk with that man. Could you, pardon my ignorance, but what was his book about again? In 10 words or less.
10 words or less. Wow.
Or 15
predicting
words.
Predicting earthquakes.
Oh, I see. Yeah. You know what? Why on earth? Like, New Zealand is built right on the where two or three fault lines all meet, converge on Christchurch, New Zealand, right? There's one. Why would they build a city where there's two or three fault lines, major fault lines? I don't know why people build cities there.
Well, why would they build New Orleans in a bowl? And the answer is it's beautiful and people want what they want, and despite the risk, they do it.
Well, maybe when they built it, they didn't know about all the fault lines. But anyways, you know, Kate, I just heard that Usher, Beyonce, Lionel Richie, Nelly Furtado, and Mariah Carey made millions and millions of dollars performing for the president of Libya. More and more Goofy and Daffy, or whatever the hell his name, Muammar Gaddafi. Did you hear that story?
Yes. The family's hired them to do various parties. That's been known, sure.
Yeah, I know. These are probably the same people. If Sarah Palin asked these people, Nelly Furtado or Beyonce, I bet you they would say, oh, no, we could never, ever perform for somebody as evil as Sarah Palin, right? I'll bet you Lionel Richie wouldn't do a concert for...
You know what? I'm going to say no, because I think it's about the money. Elton John did the wedding, the latest wedding of Rush Limbaugh, and you know how Rush Limbaugh feels about homosexual rights and that kind of stuff and gay marriage, and Elton John has a partner and a baby and all that stuff, but he had the loot, he paid him, and it didn't seem to matter.
Well, you know, I guess the Prime Minister of Canada, we had a Prime Minister called Paul Martin, the Prime Minister of Canada about 5 years ago. He was there with throwing his arms around more and more Goofy and Daffy, the President of Libya, and saying this is a man we can work with. And I think George Bush II said that Muammar Gaddafi was a born-again liberal or born-again Democrat, right? About 5 years ago.
Yes.
And you know, this whole thing about... I honestly think that a lot of these charities, when they go to Africa or Asia, I think some of these charities do more harm than good. These busybody do-gooders, because what they're doing is they're helping out the poor people of Libya or whatever country, and all they're doing is they're enabling the dictator to spend his money on weapons and mansions for his pals. Because why would Muammar Gaddafi need billions of dollars of jet fighter planes? What country is threatening Libya? Why would he need thousands of tanks and thousands of jet fighter planes in a country like Libya that nobody has anybody ever
oil interests? See, Al, that's the problem. And then you look at the Middle East, and you know that there could be uprisings of any sort, particularly when you take apart the religious beliefs and how fanatical some of the people are.
Yeah.
And what would be the U.S. interest? The interest would be, hey, let's just shut her down. Let's have peace and let's have calm. That's what we're paying Egypt. That's what we're paying Libya. That's what we're paying, you know, whoever. But touche to your point, look what happens. Then these dictators end up doing some horrific things and then try to get away with all the loot that they've amassed. And how much are they taking for themselves besides the weapons that they buy for the army that they try to maintain loyalty to themselves? So, some good points.
It's actually like paying the rent for a gambling addict to enable the gambling addict to waste thousands of dollars on gambling while you're paying the rent for them. When they feed the people in Libya something, or feed and help out the people in Libya something that Gaddafi should be doing with his oil money, that enables him to spend his oil money on weapons.
Absolutely. Good call. Thanks, Al. All right, a couple of quick headlines for you. What's going on in Wisconsin? The Wisconsin governor is saying to the Democrats who ran away to Illinois, get back here in 24 hours or else you better do it. In the meantime, you know, all this back and forth over the internet and internet regulations. Bravo to John Boehner for ripping the big bid to regulate the last frontier that we all love, the freedom of the internet. We can't say it enough. If you don't like what you're seeing on the internet, you can always turn away from it. You don't have to click on certain sites, but you do not want heavy regulation here. It is a freedom issue. So good for the Speaker of the House. It is a layup, but he did come out strong against the effort to regulate internet traffic. And he was speaking at a evangelical event at a Christian church with a bunch of leaders there, and talked about the possibility of strict regulations on what he thought you should be able to have as an expression, that the FCC was creeping further into the freedom areas. And I absolutely agree. It's a downward spiral if the FCC gets its hands around it and they start to pay more and want this for that and regulate what's being written and all that sort of thing. Okay, here's another one for you quickly, and it has to do with John Edwards. Oh, he might get his comeuppance. The New York Times is saying that a federal grand jury could soon indict Edwards. Woo, let's see if they get him for that PAC money, for paying his girlfriend with PAC money. Stay tuned, more to come on that. Edwards might like our exit line. The first rule of holes, if you're in one, stop digging.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?